Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to worship this morning at Granger Emmanuel United Methodist Church. I'm Pastor Medea, and I think Greg just heard the train run through town, and he's going to be our liturgist this morning, whether he wanted to or not.
No, I did.
Thanks be to God, he did want to. It's wonderful to see all of you here, and I hope that you've had a nice weekend in both the hot sun and the pouring rain. Oh, did I throw yours away?
I was just going to say, there's an extra note on...
Oh, yes. Well, I'll let you do that.
Okay.
Yeah. So welcome. Please sign in and let us know you were here and check the box if you desire a call.
Sorry.
More capable hands.
Not in all of the case. Good morning. I apologize for my tardiness. I hope you all had a chance to look at the announcements that we're scrolling through. Probably the big news is today is the last Sunday of Sunday school for both the youth and adults, so we will start our summer break next week. Food pantry looks to be open on Tuesday night, and we're doing the WCFP summer food program on Tuesday night as well. Other than that, I don't think there's anything out of the ordinary this week. Our birthdays for this week on...
Did I forget to put the children's chorus in? Are they singing this morning?
Yes, they are singing this morning.
Okay.
So yes, stay tuned. The kids are singing this morning.
Okay.
The 5th is Drew Debner. On the 6th is Dorlin Moorhead. On the 8th is Everett Hoffman and Caleb Hoffman. On the 9th is Darren Durflinger and Jennifer Kraus and Kathy Vensky. On the 10th is Bennett Smith. On the 11th is Alex Evans. 12th is Amber Bogardis. 14th is Adelaide Snowberger and Gabrielle Younce. Anniversaries this week, on the 7th is Jill and Richard Proctor and Eric and Alyssa Ort. On the 15th is Patience and Mark Moyer. And on the 15th also is Penny Perkins and Jeff Topolovich. If there are any we missed, please let us know. Yes, Jeannie. Or did you have another announcement?
I'm sorry, we're late.
So was I. Don't feel bad. No, you can, please share your announcement with us.
Okay. The first one is next Sunday, I understand, is Hymnal Sunday. So we're going to worship by singing hymns. So if any of you have a hymn that you would like to sing, please see me after service, and I'll write it down and pass it on. And the second is a reminder that Saturday, June 20th, from 11 to 2, we're having a ladies' luncheon at the Assumption Church. This is an effort, a combined effort for the Methodist and the Catholic Church. We are doing a fundraiser for the Woodward Granger Band, who's been invited to perform at Disney World summer of 2027. It is free for all ladies, mothers, grandmothers. There is a request for a free will donation for the band. And if you have not announced, let us know that you'd like to attend. I'd like to, please see me, Barb Chambers, or you can RSVP. There are flyers out on the table. Thank you, Greg.
You're welcome. Support that ladies' luncheon fundraiser for the band, and if you have a hymn, I know
Dean or Lester,
one of those two, were taking hymn requests this morning as well. So see Janie, there's Dean, or Dean, either one, or... I'm sure Pastor
I'm not taking hymn requests. The reason we're having a hymn sing is because next week is annual conference, and so your alternative to coming here and singing hymns is to tune in at iaumc.org and watch the live stream of annual conference down at the Mid-American Recplex, where I will be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. with glee. So enjoy the hymns.
And having been there last year, it's not as bad as she made it out, but the hymns are better. So
treats.
There are treats. Are there any other announcements? Gwen, did you want to say something about Vacation Bible School? No. And dates are?
August.
Oh, August something.
It's the 8th or something.
No, it's on the page. Okay. Sometime in August, which is not what I thought, so that's a good thing. All right. If sure. There, yes, Mike.
I suppose we ought to mention camps.
Oh, yes.
We've got money, but we don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, so any age group, really, if you're interested in going to any of the Methodist camps this summer, please let the men's group know. We have lots of scholarship money available, and we would love to send a lot of kids to camp. And adults, kids of all ages, adults. They have some really neat grandparent-grandchild camps that I went to last year, so I highly recommend those. And see Mike or myself if you have questions. Yes, Gwen?
VBS is the 4th to the 6th.
4th through the 6th is VBS. Okay, good deal. If there are no other announcements, welcome. We are glad you are here. Please stand if you are able and join me in the call to worship. Like Abraham and Sarah, God calls us to go into the unknown, trusting that God's promises are true. Whether we are certain or full of doubts, God blesses us that we may be a blessing. God sends us into the world to journey by faith, believing that God's blessings are greater than anything we can imagine. Whether the path is straight or winding, God blesses us that we may be a blessing. God gathers us today with trusted companions, those who also follow God's call, even when it does not make sense to the world around us. Whether we journey with friends or feel all alone, God blesses us that we may be a blessing. As we gather to worship, may we remember that we are God's people, blessed by God to be a blessing to our world that is hurting and desperately in need of good news. God, form us today as a family of faith, that your blessings might flow out of us and into our world, drawing all people into your promise of abundant life and flourishing. Amen. If you would join me in our opening prayer. Almighty God, you have set before us the path, but we have wandered on our own to try and find our way. We confess that we test our boundaries, ignoring your call until fear finally makes us look back. We are full of rebellion, demanding to be cut loose and set free, not knowing how much we still need to seek your wisdom and guidance. That we know our own way, only to stumble and stray so far. Remember us, parental God, that we are always your children, that we are always have much to learn. Help us to seek your every day, and to acknowledge that your wisdom and guidance, and help us to return to the path and walk with you. In the name of Christ, who is our companion on this journey of faith, we pray. Amen. If you would greet those around you with the peace of Christ, may the peace of Christ be with you and also with you.
is number 616, Come Sinners to the Gospel Feast. Let us take some time this morning to share our joys and our concerns with one another. If you would raise your hand, Nolan will come to you. Oh, got a couple.
I'd just like to thank everybody for the thoughts and prayers and cards and everything after my surgery and since. I'm getting along pretty good.
Praise God.
I'm backing up, and I'm so happy to be back.
We're glad to have you back, too.
I'd like to have praises for a second cousin of mine. We celebrated their 50th anniversary yesterday up in Jefferson. So Carla and Steve Hoppert. So 50th year, 50 years, 1976 was their marriage.
1976 was our anniversary, and that was 50 years ago.
Yes.
Time flies, doesn't it? Yeah. Other joys and concerns today.
A dog walkie. He is dead.
We lift that prayer up to God, honey. Back in the back, Nolan.
I don't know how many know it, but I had a pacemaker put in January. I went back yesterday to see the doctor, and they checked it all out. And other than just a few phone calls, I don't have to worry about it for 2 years.
Praise the Lord for a working pacemaker. Anyone else this morning? We continue to pray for members of our church who are fighting cancer, who have injuries and surgeries from which they are healing, friends and family who have lost loved ones and are mourning. We celebrate anniversaries and birthdays and folks who are healed and staying well, and through all of that, we know and trust that God is with us and God is loving on all of us. So let's take a little time to pray this morning. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the gift of your Spirit that enlivens us, that calls us forward, that pushes us. May we continue to put our faith and trust in you and your love for us, for your desire for our wholeness and our healing. We give thanks for Chuck and his pacemaker that's working. We praise you for healing Rod and his knee. And we also give you thanks for the care and generosity of this congregation when people are needing friends, needing meals, needing a card, or needing love. We give thanks for Carrie's relative, Harlan, who's celebrating his 50th anniversary. And Lord, help those of us like me who have trouble believing that that was 50 years ago in the 1970s. Wow. Loving God, we thank you that you call each of us to fall in love with you and your Son, Jesus Christ, and to put one foot in front of the other in a journey of faith and trust. Indeed, loving God, inspire us to continue to love you and to trust you with all of our ways, with everything that we have. And may we find ourselves and our purpose in you over and over again as you lead us through the days of our lives. We thank you for our Sunday school and the successful year that they have had, the adults and the children. We thank you for all of those who have volunteered and taught lessons, sometimes at the last minute, sometimes weeks in advance of planning. Continue to pour out your blessings on our church, loving God, and may we receive them and know how to make a place for new people and new friends, for new opportunities, and for vistas and horizons that we could not imagine and have never seen. In all of this, we follow your Son, Jesus Christ, and we faithfully pray the prayer that he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our Old Testament scripture this morning is from Genesis 12, verses 1 through 9. It can be found on page 9 of your pew Bible, and it's the call of Abraham. Now the Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abraham took his wife Sarah and his brother's son Lot, all the possessions that they had acquired in Haran. And they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oaks of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed on by stages toward the Negev. If the children would come forward this morning, I believe they're going to sing for us.
other children who want to come up for a minute together? It was really fun from where I was sitting because I could see the twins also like having a great time. You want to come up too, Cooper? So thank you for singing that song about Abram today, because that's what we're going to learn about. Well, we read the story just now in the scripture, and we're going to hear about it in the sermon. But I want you to understand what it felt like for Abram. Have any of you ever put in a postcard at Santa Claus's workshop with the thing that you want the most for Christmas?
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah? And has it worked out? Did the postcard make it to the North Pole?
Yes.
This time it did. Did it seem like a very, very long time from when you mailed that postcard until Santa came to your house?
Yes.
An extremely long time. You thought maybe Christmas was never going to come? Yeah. So in our lesson today, a man named Abram is called by God to just start walking in the direction that God will show him. And I kind of think of it like God is giving him this blank postcard, and he says, it's invisible ink, but it will reveal itself when you get to where I want you to be. And so Abram picks up all his stuff and walks away, and he just has to put his faith and trust in God as he is walking and walking and walking. And he gets to first place, and God says, well, this will be a place for you, but not yet. So the ink says, build an altar, and God tells Abram, and Abram builds an altar and worships God. And then God says, now keep going. So he has to keep going again, and he pitches his tent in another place. So for Abram, it was kind of like he has this blank postcard to God, and he is trusting that God will be able to read the postcard and will promise and fulfill God's promise to bless him. And so if you can imagine how it feels to wait for Christmas, that's probably similar to how it felt for Abram when he and his family were just walking and walking and walking. So let's pray about that this morning. Can you put your hands together and bow your head and repeat after me? Dear God, thank you for your promises. Help us to be faithful and wait for you to fulfill those promises. Amen. Thank you so much for coming and for singing this morning. Enjoy your summer and have a treat.
The epistle lesson this morning is from Romans 4, verses 13 through 25. And it's God's promises realized through faith. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherence to the laws who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherence to the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said. So numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, "it was reckoned to him," were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses, and he was raised for our justification. If you'd stand, if you are able, and join us in hymn 451, Be Thou My Vision.
If you are able, please remain standing out of reverence for the word of the Lord as we hear from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 9 through 13 and 18 through 26, which can be found on page 8 in the New Testament portion of your Pew Bible if you would like to follow along. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And Matthew got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to Jesus' disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If only I touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned and, seeing her, said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house, he saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, and he said, "Go away, for this girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. He went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. And the report of this spread throughout the district. This is the word of God for us, God's people. Thanks be to God. I invite you to be seated. Well, it may come as a surprise to you all, because typically I preach the gospel, and we've just had two Sundays that were, you know, pretty heady in the gospel days, right? The Holy Spirit's inbreaking on Pentecost, and then follow that by Trinity Sunday, where we're talking about the triune God who creates, redeems, and sustains the work of God's people, the church. Well, surprise, for the next 4 weeks, I thought we would spend some time on the journey with Abram and Sarai as we learn how to respond to God's call. And I think it's kind of fun because this morning we hear lots of call stories, truth be told, and we realize that the people that God calls and the people that Jesus calls are not perfect people, aren't the upper echelons of people. They're regular farmers like Abram and his wife Sarai, who would have been looked down upon at 75. They didn't have any children of their own. The woman who was hemorrhaging, who was called by Jesus in her own faith to reach out to his robe and be healed. And the man who has a daughter who has passed away, and Jesus comes and says, "No, she's just sleeping." Calls them to faith and to believe that God in Christ can do more amazing things than we can ever imagine. Lead us to places we never thought we would go. Heal us from illnesses that we thought would be with us forever. And even sometimes raise people from the dead. This girl is one in a very small company, but it is a miracle that Jesus performs for us. And so I like that we're going to follow along with this pair of people who are not 100% right and who don't get everything handed to them by God. If they did, they would already have a gaggle of children following them along with their tents and things. But let's join them and learn from them what it means to trust God, to listen to God, and to cooperate with God as God does the work for Abram and Sarai to form a family and to prepare a people to be a blessing to all of God's creation. So we come to this morning, the 12th chapter in Genesis, and recently, a week ago maybe, we were reading the creation story where the heavens and the earth were divided, and the land from the sea and the clouds from, you know the story. So we skip over a few things like the Garden of Eden and Noah floating in the ocean when the land is flooded. And we get to this place, we even skip the Tower of Babel, but we get to this place of the call of Abram. Genesis chapter 12. And the passage begins with God giving Abram a threefold command: go from your country, go from your kindred and your father's house, go to the land I'll show you, and I will make a great nation. So he has three orders, and a promise, right? And each one intensifies in the ask. Not just go from your country and your kindred, but leave your home place. Leave the place that you know, the place where everything's going fine and the milk and honey are flowing. And then wander off, where I'll show you as you go, and I'll make a nation of you. Do you ever think how long it might have taken for Abraham to decide to round everybody up and leave? Do you ever wonder if God thought, well, is he going to do it or not? I would wonder. After all, I mean, Abram was 75 years old. Anybody here who is 75 or older think that it's a great thing to pack up all your stuff and move to a city that's unfamiliar and drive around where traffic is different and you don't know your way and all the stores are arranged differently and you have to find a new church to belong to and everyone is a stranger? Because God promises it'll be good. Yeah, y'all are like, Pastor, you're crazy. But that is exactly what God is asking of Abraham. Leave Haran where you are right now. Don't even think about Ur where you grew up. Pack up your stuff and get on the road. Now, I want to know, for any of you, have any of you ever felt that nudge from God to do something? To go somewhere, to learn something? Have you had a calling that's been placed on you that you have been faithful to or run from? Yeah, I can relate. And I'm sure many of you can as well. Often God will nudge us with the Holy Spirit or something that we hear in church or someone says sticks in our mind or burns in our heart that we have to do something about it because God says we need to. No, we can ignore it if we want to. It probably won't go away. Or we can give up and like God. So God gives Abraham this command, leave your house, leave your father's house, pack it up and wander off. And then God gives Abraham a promise. He says, you'll have descendants, you'll have wealth, and you'll have a great reputation. You are going to be blessed to be a blessing. How do we feel about that? Our church is how old now? Have you guys celebrated 100 years? Yeah? 125 years? Yeah? 150 years? Really? How old is our church? 175 years old? Not quite that old. Okay. So imagine then that God is saying to the oldest people in our church, pick up your pew pillow and follow me because we're going to do new things and you're going to meet a bunch of strangers and your job is to welcome them in and provide hospitality for them in a radical way. And through that, I am going to bless you to be a blessing to them. Really? Do we have to? I imagine that that was how Abram felt, you know? But God is calling us to be useful to God's purpose. And God makes us great when we answer God's call, because we become a blessing to others. We become important in our wider world because we feed the hungry. We become important to future generations because we teach them what it means to know and love God and to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. We teach our friends how to sing, and we give them donuts and coffee afterward to say, we love you, we welcome you, we'll pray for you if you are healing or broken, and we'll give you grace if you forgot your deodorant this morning and you sit too close to us, or your kids are noisy and make our hearing aids go, wah. We are Abram and Sarai, and our call is to be a blessing. Who we are is not just what we do, but we are in our body the sign and promise of God's presence. We show people that truly God works to bind our hearts together and build community and form a family out of a whole bunch of people who might have been strangers a few years ago. And we, like Abram, don't necessarily know how that story ends or even what's on the next page for us. But the question is, can you hear God's call? Can you feel the Holy Spirit nudging? And will you pack up what you have and take off in a new direction in faithfulness to God? What do you think? Can we do that? God concludes this really, really big ask with a promise. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse, and in you all of the families of the earth will be blessed. May God make you as blessed as Abram would be the blessing for us today. May God make us as faithful as Abram would be the challenge for us today. So Abram obeys God's command, and he sets out from Haran toward Canaan. And in the Greek, it's lek lekha, which God says, go forth yourself. That's it. Go forth. You, off. Abram decides he'll take his nephew Lot, who's probably like a son to him because his wife is barren, and he decides to pack up the people that he employs on his farm or who he owns, and they set off. No destination named. And it notes that Canaan, where he's first led, is already occupied by other people. So he can't just settle there. He builds an altar. It's reminding him of God's promise. And then he keeps going into the next neighborhood of Shechem. The text is explicit that God finally appears to him at that place and confirms, yep, this is the place right here where I want you to build an altar and where you will have descendants. So he pitches the tent, he builds the second altar, he worships God, and then he journeys again. Fits and fits, little bits here and there, kind of like a car trip with a dog or a two-year-old. You don't get very far at one time. I don't know if you're a planner or not, but going somewhere without a destination, without a plan, without a timeline, without any guarantee except that you're a 75-year-old who's going to be the father of nations just sounds like a nightmare to me. Utter nightmare. It's not certain, but it is the calling of God. And we, as God's people, just like Abram and Sarai, are called to be full of faith and to go in fits and starts, trusting that whichever way we are going is the direction in which God is calling us to go. And the people that God puts in our path are the people that God wants us to welcome into our family. So you have to wonder, maybe we're plan A, maybe we're plan B, maybe we're plan Z. But we also have to trust that God is planning for refreshing and renewing us in the person of Jesus Christ, that God continues to strengthen us as the family of God, and that we are blessed and we will be continuously blessed to be a blessing to those that God puts in our path. So let us pray. Loving God, long before the change of Abram's name, before the first signs of new life showed the beginnings of promises fulfilled, you ask Abram to make his home among foreigners and share the blessing that was to come. And now, O God, you ask the same faith of us, the faith to count ourselves among the least, to find our place alongside the poor and broken, the faith to trust in your mercy and your promises, and to share what we have built and what we have received, the faith to wait expectantly for your reign of justice and equity together with those who most need its gifts. Teach us to be children of Abram, sharers of the blessings we enjoy, the blessing of plenty shared with those who have need, the blessing of healing shared with those who are sick and wounded, the blessing of joy shared with those who celebrate, and the tears shared with those who grieve, the blessing of friendship shared with those who are excluded, and of solidarity with those who fight injustice, the blessing of peace shared with those in conflict, and of confrontation shared with those who bring harm. And in some small way, may our faith and our sharing help to bring your promises into being in our world. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I invite our ushers now to come forward and gather our morning tithes, gifts, and offerings.
Thank you.
join me in the offertory prayer? Calling God, you spoke to Abram and set him on a journey, not with full clarity, but with full trust. You promised blessing, and with it, purpose. We come now as your people, also journeying by faith, offering these gifts, not for our greatness, but so that your promise might be fulfilled through us. Bless the world. To build relationships, to mend the broken, and to draw all families of the earth towards your heart. May your giving reflect your trust, and may our trust lead us to where you send. Step by step, stage by stage, into your future. Amen.
Thank you, friends. You may be seated.
And let us turn to page 13 in our hymnal and celebrate the Great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You led Abram and Sarah on a great journey and call us as well in faith. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Christ took the bread, gave thanks to God, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to God, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and the vine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. In the United Methodist Church, the table is open to all who believe in Christ and profess their faith. So I invite you to come and dine, and I also invite our communion stewards to come forward.
Thank you.
Closing hymn is number 374, Standing on the Promises of Christ My King. Let us sing verses 1 and 4. Friends, go forth and receive the blessing of God. Go in peace as the people of God, God's family. Amen.